today is a big anniversary. Today is June 13th, 25 years ago this morning. The news broke that Ron Goldman and Nicole Brown Simpson were found dead in their Los Angeles neighborhood, Brown's condominium, and O.J. Simpson was the chief suspect. Now, the murders actually occurred on the night of June 12th, but this morning, June 13th, this is the 25th anniversary of the bodies being discovered and the story breaking. And I don't remember a whole lot about that day, and we're not talking about the police chase day. The White Bronco day occurred on June 17th, so the anniversary of that, the 25th anniversary, will be on Monday. What I do remember is that we were doing the afternoon show at the time. We were on from 2 to 5. And I remember the only thing about that, when we got the story and we were discussing the story, and a footnote in the story was that OJ was a person of interest. And I remember what I thought was a pretty good line, that they suspect O.J. Simpson because they believe the murder weapon was a Heisman Trophy.
Well.
And I remember George's reaction was as though I had just gotten the show fired and canceled, and you were appalled at that line.
And it reminded me. Sorry, I didn't support you better, but I remember that day when I first heard, it was really upsetting to me because I was just a huge O.J. fan.
You glossed over your apology to him. This man has been waiting all
25
these
years. I've been hurting.
Oh, he hasn't been hurting over this. But I remember it wasn't against you. I was just, I don't know if you remember, but I had to write this
essay.
Essay to make myself feel better.
What? Wait, this is breaking news.
No, I'm serious. Remember, I showed it to you. Remember, because I almost aired it, and I didn't. I think I just deleted it.
I don't remember this.
You wrote an essay.
Yeah. And I was going to go on the air with it with just my emotions that I felt, because he was one of my childhood heroes.
I think we're going to hear a dramatic reading of that essay.
Like a lot of people were, but I remember those first couple of days, I was just like, not OJ. There's no way. And I didn't know about all the stories of alleged abuse and things like that.
So on that day when it broke, do you remember on the air, were you saying, there's no way this could be OJ, they've got the wrong guy?
Oh,
were
no.
you defending him?
No, I wasn't defending him, because unfortunately we had already seen enough that when you have someone murdered, unfortunately, a lot of times the spouse, or in this case the ex-spouse, is certainly a person of interest. But I remember that first day, I don't know if it was reported that he was the first person of interest, because he was in Chicago.
Right.
And then that next day is when you started thinking, okay, wait a minute. They are now questioning O.J. Simpson, and it started really going south for him in a hurry.
Well, he was mentioned that first day as a person of interest /suspect. I don't even know, did we have the term person of interest 25 years ago?
Maybe not.
I can't remember who the first person of interest was.
I can't either. Seems like that term came around about 15 years ago. Maybe
was that
20.
In the JonBenet case? Or they were umbrella of suspicion. That was the term used for JonBenet's parents.
It was totally shocking to the sports world system, right?
Yeah.
We couldn't remember a famous high-profile athlete, arguably, in our childhood, one of the five most famous athletes on the planet.
Beloved,
I mean,
well-liked.
Yes, so beloved. Right, that was the extra layer. Not only was he the first to run for 2,000 yards in a season, he was also the first to slice two necks in one night.
He was also
a movie star. He was a movie star. He was a television commentator. He was a good-looking guy. Everybody loved OJ. That's why it was really kind of hard to make the two work.
Who did more advertisements than OJ? I mean, who is a bigger endorser of OJ than OJ?
Maybe Arnie, and then they did one together.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was everywhere. I mean, up until then, his biggest offense was slaughtering sports broadcasting on Monday Night Football.
Or wife-beating.
Well, we didn't know about that. That was not very public. At least I didn't know about it. Mm. I would say most of America didn't know about all that.
When the story broke that morning, did we have any idea what it would lead to over the next few years. Heck, over the next 25 years. Stories last night on the national news, several of the news agencies went to OJ's house in Las Vegas, where he now lives. And he did make a statement to some reporters. He said he's healthy. He's happy. He plays golf almost every day. He spends time with his kids. And he said that he and his kids never talk about the murders. He said that they've gone to a more positive place, a no negativity zone, and that they never talk or think about the murders. Well, Lester Holt interviewed Fred Goldman, the father of Ron Goldman, and Fred Goldman said, isn't that interesting that he says he never thinks about his ex-wife who was murdered and not by him? That somebody that somebody else killed his ex-wife, but that he never thinks about her, and that the kids never think about her. Isn't that weird? And I think that's a pretty good point.
Absolutely. And it's just like when he got through the trial, and he didn't seem that upset of, okay, I proved that I am innocent of this, and I'm going to spend my life finding out who did this to my kid's mother.
He said that at first, that he was not going to rest until he tracked down the real killers.
But
and then he started hitting golf courses.
Started going to the
like
clubs.
He'd just been elected president.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, you would think that he'd be so upset for the rest of his life.
Yeah.
That he would see, that he'd be doing interviews left and right talking about his quest to find the real killers. That the police department would be back out after the real killers, right? But it's so obvious that he was the real killer that everybody's just kind of given up on any other search or even talking about the possibility that it was somebody else.
Or, you know, the alternate theory is that it was one of his kids from the previous marriage.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, there are theories out there that he did not do it.
What's Jason? Is that his name? No, or is Jason the one with Nicole?
Killer here!
I think can't remember. Jason,
the one that worked as a chef and had access to knives, and it had some beef with
Justin.
No, that's the one with Sydney. Justin and Sydney is his kid with Nicole, kids with Nicole, I believe. Is that right? Maybe you're right. Anyway.
Okay, he was married to Marguerite.
Right.
They had Arnell.
Right.
Jason. Is that who you're thinking of? And Aaron.
Jason. Yes, Jason is the one. That's the one who came out when OJ's slow speed Bronco chase came to an end. And Jason came out of OJ's Brentwood home and spoke with OJ through the window of the Bronco, and their AC seemed to be fighting with him.
Back. Yeah,
get back.
So if that theory were to hold or prove true, what would Jason's motive be for killing those two?
Yeah.
Perhaps
I can't remember that one.
The theory was that he was romantically maybe interested in Nicole or something to that effect. She was supposed to go see him at this new restaurant he was working at, from what I remember. Nicole was supposed to go visit where Jason had just gotten hired as a chef.
That seems like a looser motive than OJ with anger management problems and really ticked that she was seeing Ron Goldman.
Yes, it certainly does. But it's one of the few theories that at least passes the test of why hasn't OJ gone looking for the real killer?
Right.
And why has OJ acted so strange if he's innocent?
Right.
Because he's covering for his kid.
Mm-hmm.
Remember hearing the worst excuse ever during that trial when they were trying to figure out the timeline of what OJ was doing when he was running late to get in the limousine. And at one point he said he decided to hit a couple of chips in the front yard. Wasn't that?
He actually did that, I think.
There is no way. In the complete darkness, you're running late. Hey, let me get in a few chips here before I head out to Chicago.
Right.
I don't know, man. People who are obsessed with golf, they do weird stuff.
Yeah, I guess, but I don't know. I just remember, and then, the trial itself was just a whole nother, that was a whole nother episode. I mean, each day was just a movie that you couldn't believe.
So glued to that TV. watching that trial.
Yeah. The story breaking, then a few days later, the white Bronco chase, then the trial and how long that lasted, the aftermath of the trial and America divided, then OJ goes about his life, then OJ finds his way into prison, then he's there for a while.
And does a show with the sports princess.
Does a show with the sports princess.
What?
Gets out, plays more golf, now lives in Las Vegas and is spotted often in Miami and seems like he's living the good life. What a bizarre story the O.J. Simpson murder case was.
Can you name his girlfriend that he had at the time?
Yeah.
Oh, gosh, what was her name?
It's a good little trivia.
If you give me the initials, I'll get it right away.
I think it was PB.
Peanut butter?
Close.
Paula Barbieri.
Very wow, good. Look at that.
Very good.
Very good. And who was his house guest?
Cato Kaelin.
Cato Kaelin.
What a spare he was.
Who made a name for himself for the last 25 years being involved in the case.
Yeah,
he'll pop up every once in a while on some reality show.
Sure.
Well, 25 years ago this morning, that's when the story broke. We found out about the murders of Nicole Brown Simpson and Ron Goldman. And for 25 years, we've been looking at OJ in a different light. 5:49 on the ticket. Coming up next, to a horrific injury.